If you have an influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will have both of you row off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that simple, understand?
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Totally just do that. You need to end a phone call with a male friend. He's like, all right.
End the phone call.
Yeah, just end a phone call. Just, okay, and hang up. That's it.
Mwah.
And just cause you can, I've built two new soundboards for today. Ooh. And I want to see if you can figure out what the common thread between all of them is, because there is a commonality between both of them.
Okie doke. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Jim. He's Clarkson. We're the Film Thugs. So, first off, have you driven, you've driven one Mopac South.
Indeed.
Recently. You notice the spot where they repainted the lines for the right for the left lane?
Yes.
And didn't cover the old ones?
Yeah,
so
it's quite the...
it really fucks with you.
It's a little bit like Death Race 2000 there for about a quarter of a mile.
Yeah, and you're like, not... What the fuck?
What's going to happen? What are people going to do?
Who knows?
What's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
If we make it to 22-22,
we're safe. Yeah.
Oh, you don't take that bitch, we're going to get it. But guess what I do? One day.
Oh, my God. I love the best part of that whole interview was the pre stuff.
Yeah.
His mic was hot, but he wasn't talking. He was.
No, I'll play for you to put the best part.
Allegedly, in my opinion, high on methamphetamine.
I'm going to do one thing.
I don't want to do war.
Let me do this. I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rass ass what the hell you think.
And Dennis makes a great point.
Yes, he does.
And Dennis makes
that's
a great
on
point.
Both of them.
Oh. Can obey that one thing.
So, yes.
Oh, dear.
Goddamn, Dennis. Dennis Rodman. This was a good week. In crazy
it really
for Dennis
was.
Rodman, it genuinely.
Look at him. It's a sports venture.
Wait.
Oh, no, like, the one thing about politics, can obey that one thing. If you understand, I got it. And no, you tell me. And you tell me. Why is he held captive?
So good.
It really is.
I would love to speak on this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be happening a lot.
It makes
on
this
Stephanopoulos
show. Interview. Stephanopoulos. Snuffanopoulos. Snuffanopoulos.
It's Snuffanopoulos.
Interview sound completely cogent.
Well, yes. Well, that's.
Sober.
Do anyone understand that?
It's just perfect.
You guy behind the mic right now.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, Dennis.
Yeah.
Every damned week.
God, he's good at it. He's so good at being crazy.
Love it.
Speaking of crazy, did you hear about Jenny McCarthy's kid?
No.
Who doesn't have autism?
Yeah, because she, like, what, took her to Tituba or something?
No. False diagnosis. Like, there was some sort of, the kid had some sort of treatable ailment. Ooh. So she has cost quite a few lives. And I'm sorry, I'm coming right out and saying that. Her uninformed fucking ass going out there and just, you looked great naked, dear. Why couldn't you have just left it at that?
Dear.
Ooh, dearie me.
Do anyone understand that?
I'm not interested in caring about people.
Oh, dear.
And Dennis makes a great point.
Yeah. He does.
This is going to be the show that's nothing but fucking drops. But yeah, that, it's one where, yes, this is why you don't listen to celebrities too much.
No. Because
It was like the guy I work with who was talking. I made the statement about Imagine being the worst fucking song ever. He's like, you mean the greatest? And I go, yes, Imagine No Possessions, except for my refrigerated closet for my fur coats, because John Lennon had one of those and used to like to hit women, evidently. So peace, unless you're a lady, then you get
a piece.
Fucking boost of fazool, but you know, that's how it goes. Allegedly, in my opinion, from what I've heard.
Right.
I like saying no. It lowers their enthusiasm.
Speaking of lowered enthusiasm, so evidently, collecting phone records of everyone in the country.
Yes.
Meh. Targeting certain groups of the IRS. Closing down a bridge. Career is over.
His career should be over because of his positions.
Yeah. Well, did you hear what a guy on, I think it was MSNBC. MSNBC said to Wasserman Schultz, she was talking about how this is an outrage.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Wasserman Schultz. And he was like, she's like, it's outrageous that Christie says he doesn't know anything about this. And she's like, the host was like, well, Obama didn't know anything about this, 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 or this, and that's fine. Why is this different here? And she
wait a minute.
Yes.
This happened on MSNBC.
It was either, I think it was CNN or MSNBC. It was
has a job?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I know. It's shocking. But it was just like, what about this? Evidently she was like deer in headlights. So,
you're a guy behind a mic right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Christy.
So there's that. I don't.
No.
What the fuck? Just
whatever.
The fuck, whatever. Oh, and I'm very proud of one of my students. He wanted to ask Shane Black a question at AFF and never got a chance to. But he did actually one-on-one. Went up and asked him and didn't know what it was until today. We were talking. He's like, yeah, I asked him why all his movies are set at Christmas.
Good question.
And he said, I don't know.
I don't know. It would be great if he just said, because I like Christmas.
Because I like Christmas.
Like the straight edge guy that had the Coke tattoo. And they said, why do you have a Coca-Cola tattoo? I like Coca-Cola.
I'm like, yeah.
Perfect.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rass ass what the hell you think.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Can obey that one thing.
I can't figure out what he's saying.
Can obey that one thing. Can obey that one thing.
And Dennis makes a great point.
He does.
let me do this.
Man.
It's fucking grand.
If you understand.
If you don't understand.
So this week.
Yeah.
Nicole and I decided to take our first step in the grand Jonathan Swiftish adventure of home buying.
Yes.
I have a lot of experience on this other side of the ball.
Yes.
But turns out I have no experience on the other side.
Right. Right.
And the answers are almost exactly the same on this side of the ball.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
In my business, there's a lot of people that just say, and when you ask them a question, when will it be ready? Half an hour, 15 minutes, it's done right now.
Right.
Well, what about this problem? Well, it's because of this. It's bullshit because they can't say, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you just said, I don't know, my day would just be breezy.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of, the rasmitude of the rangitude multiplied if you find the understandablys of the conflucutlies.
Right.
That the cable will then be around Eccles the, precisely.
A lot of bullshit verbalizing to nothing.
Sound and fury signifying nothing.
Right, right. Well, I mean,
same thing here on this side. So one would just say,
we don't know.
We don't have that information.
Right.
So when we do, then we can make a decision.
Yeah, but no. Why do that?
This,
that's not fun.
This information that would make your numbers this.
Right.
I'm not going to be specific about this.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, remember that thing we said? Never mind, because it's changing in 10 days. Okay, well, then we can't do that.
Can we
do this
in
10 days?
Well,
they may change their mind. Yeah. I'm not going to 7 come 11 with thousands of dollars on the government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not happening.
My idea of a perfect government is one guy who sits in a small room at a desk, and the only thing he's allowed to decide is who to nuke.
Right.
Yes.
What he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one thing.
So long story short, the first house we put an offer in, it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
But we're walking houses tomorrow, whatever.
Yeah.
All stems from the seller never wanted to come down from their original number at all. And that information never made it from their agent to ours until the end of the day.
Well,
we were bidding with fucking Ariel and Ookla and Thundar the Barbarian and the North Wind and Jack Frost because nothing was happening.
Here's the thing that gets me about that is I understand that it is a seller's market to a certain degree, but not enough of a seller's market to say I'm not going to come down on price at all.
Within $4,000?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Come on.
Another bid, $6,000, and moving things around. Well, if you change too much, you might piss them off. Okay, we piss them off, but then I come around and give them more money. You're telling me they're not going to take it at a principal?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a hypothetical. Oh, I need is a hypothetical.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell me it's a fact, because I don't really know
what
the fuck's going on this side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I made this clear.
Yeah.
I literally need my hand held in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I can admit that, but you know why, Jim? Because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's magical, isn't it? It's like asking a child.
I am usually not one for speeches, so goodbye.
That makes me happy. That makes me very, very happy. No, it just sucks.
It work out, though.
That shit happens. Oh, yeah. Like I was telling you before we hit record, I have 3 to 6 months. You guys have up to 5 months.
Yeah.
That's...
it's all right. Just fine.
The thing is, like, so many houses are popping up there that shit's going to be available. Like, shit will happen.
But let me tell you this one thing.
Yes.
Let me just...
I don't even know.
Shit.
No. You tell me. You tell me. Why is he held captive? And no. You tell me. You tell me. Really? Really? Really?
Yes.
Really?
Really? I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No. If you tear up the carpet of your starter home and stain the concrete, you have just exposed stained concrete.
Yeah.
Not solid gold floors, floors.
Yes.
You don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like granite countertops. For some reason, people think.
They're granite.
And exposed concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It's handy. Yeah. For someone like me, because I can see where the cracks go.
Yeah. And you can see...
Simmer down now.
You can see where the patio's going to sag in 4 years.
Yeah.
So
that didn't come to me till later.
Yeah.
But
I'm just looking at all of it thinking, we're all going to find some shit. It's going to be wonderful. And
it'll all work out, baby.
Both of us have been doing this a combined total of, 2 weeks with a realtor now? So...
Tight.
Yeah, I talked to her. Here's what's funny. Everyone, we always joke about the hive mind and all that shit. Like, back when he lived in New Braunfels, when Clarkson lived in New Braunfels, I'd come down to visit, and it's like the day before I'd leave, I'd get 4 movies from Netflix.
Right.
I'd drive down here without having talked to him. I'd drive down to New Braunfels. He would have the same 4 movies.
Yeah.
I called the realtor he recommended to me. And I was like, yeah, I'm a friend of Clarkson and Nicole Campbell's. And she was like, I literally was with them 5 minutes ago. And I had tried to call 5 minutes earlier, but somebody else called me. I would have called while you guys were probably looking at that house. Then I don't know that number. Hello. Hi, my name is Jim Dirks. Okay. Miss me. Oh, hold on a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it would have been, put Clarkson on the phone. Hey, what you doing? Cool.
Cool.
Is it cool? You like it?
You like it?
Awesome. Mm, awesome. Yes. Do it. Do it!
Mustard please, yellow walls.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at him!
So, anyway.
So, yes, there's that. So, what else? I don't know anything. Just been checking out houses online, figuring it out. It's an odd experience because you want to, and it's going to be wonderful and amazing, and you're going to love it. But it is the most fucking stressful, anxiety-producing experience you can fucking imagine.
It really is. Long story short, I learned that bourbon, a little bit of ice, really delicious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had
you had a little angel's.
There's a little dent.
I'm gonna.
Much.
Ooh, actually, hold on. I don't need ice. I'm gonna borrow one of these to have a little of Phil's wonderful angel's envy gift. I'm gonna drink it straight.
Nice.
Because why shouldn't I? Because I'm a free American.
That's right.
And that's a beautiful goddamn correct. Thing.
I call this turf and turf. It's a 16-ounce T-bone and a 24-ounce porterhouse. Also, whiskey and a cigar. I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free American.
That's right.
Yep. I had a feeling you'd have that there. Yes. Because Clarkson's specific request for this show, or is it specific?
No. You tell me. The one thing about politics, can obey that one thing. If you understand, I got a guy. I'm going to tell you one thing.
See that, but his original suggestion was Clint Eastwood and Stakes We've Known.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I made notes.
Nice.
I have Clint Eastwood and Stakes I've Known.
Nice.
Clint Eastwood is a fine actor and director, and then I have a steak glossary.
So. Funny you should mention that, because earlier this week, Hope was like, I forget what it was I'd done, but it was something special, so she's like, I got a steak. She stopped to get dinner on the way in when she got a steak and opened it up, and I was like, that's a porterhouse. She was like, no, I just got a big steak. I was like, no, it's a T-bone, but it's a big T-bone.
That porterhouse, rare, quickly.
That makes it a porterhouse. We cooked it beautifully.
Mm.
And it was funny because you started cutting into it. We're sitting there eating it, and just standing there in the kitchen, picking up pieces and eating it.
Yes.
We're like, I see no reason to sit down.
No.
Oh, and we started watching Sleepy Hollow.
It is wacky times.
I like it, though.
It's better because of it.
Yeah.
If they had tried to be, what's the word I'm looking for? How do you Americans say? Smart?
Yeah.
It wouldn't work out. Yeah, they just kind of push all their chips in the center of the table and then set chips and table on fire.
The guy who plays Ichabod Crane, first off, he looks like he's always posing in a catalog. His coat is dope as shit.
Yes, it is.
But the bit where he's, no, I don't want any donut holes. And he eats when he goes, look, you need to understand. He's good. Just that much. But then when they're driving and he looks in the bag, he's like, good God. These cost $4.72 with an additional 42 cent tax. And then later she says something, he goes, what you fail to understand is there is a 10% levy on baked goods. We fought a revolution on less than 2%.
Yeah, I slipped that one in there.
Yeah. I know. I was like, wait.
The one thing about politics,
yeah,
can obey that one thing.
The problem.
If you understand. I got a guy.
The revolution was held for less than 2%,
yeah,
but the item is also the reason.
Yeah.
Donut holes.
Yeah.
So we don't have another revolution.
Right.
Donut holes.
Donut holes,
we
exactly.
We could, but then we're donut holes.
I would love to speak on this.
I'm not just not going to be able to stop doing this. I'm literally not going to.
People around the world, I'm going to do one thing.
Yeah, folks, if you don't like that, then you need to check the fuck out.
You probably should.
If we said right now, we can drive, go anywhere, have whatever steak you want. What, like, price ain't an option.
Anywhere in the world?
No, not anywhere. Anywhere in Austin. We'll start Austin and then expand from there.
Austin. I don't know. I've only had chains in Austin.
Yeah, see, I've been to Sullivan's. And I was at Reed's Supper Club. Reed's Supper Club, I could cut the steak with a fucking fork.
Mm, that's good.
Sullivan's is nice, too. Sullivan's is fine. You know, it's John L. Sullivan, the Irish boxer. But they got a damn fine steak there. Now, the last time I ate at Sullivan's, the textbook company did like a, we're going to give you some more information about some of our products. And, oh, look, a steak.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, psyched. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, fuck. Yes, information, great. Steak.
Mm-hmm.
Woman sitting next to me. Steak gets delivered, put down, and it's small, but it's gorgeous.
Right.
She looks at it, does not touch a utensil, anything, looks up at the bartender, looks up at the server and says, do you have any A1 steak sauce? Not, do you have a sauce that you guys would recommend? It's like with me, I'd be like, hey, do you guys have like a sauce that you could, you know, you normally pair with this or a top sauce? No, instantly. A1.
A1?
Yeah.
I don't much go for ethnic food.
And Dennis makes a great point.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah, that. And I was like, you want to.
Pardon me.
I felt like fucking Stanley Tucci at the beginning of Big Night. Like, it just doesn't. Please just taste it. But it just doesn't look.
¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se
dice? Hot dog.
Hot dog. Can I get some spaghetti with the risotto? Like that. And I just genuinely didn't know what to say. It was like, here's the thing. If your favorite part about steak is the steak sauce, you've never had a steak worth eating.
No, you really haven't.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what a steak needs? Here's what a steak needs. It needs a little olive oil, little salt, little pepper.
And thyme.
That's it. And that's all. Nothing more.
Again.
Porterhouse, rare, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, I'm a medium guy myself, right. But that's, you know, that's how it goes.
I understand.
I will say every once in a while I'm okay with, depending on the steak and depending on the topping, doing a topping type thing with it. Like
depends on where you're at.
Yeah, like when I buy...
Had I known about Ryan's steakhouse steak, I would have asked to be covered with a real steak.
Yes. Can I get this wrapped in a real steak, wrapped in bacon, just to cover the taste of this?
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like Ron White talking about his wife's cooking being so bad that she fed the dog something once and he turned around and started licking his ass. And his wife's like, why is he doing that? And I said, to get the taste out of his mouth. That's the feeling. But what I'm what I'm talking about here is like if you go to the grocery store and buy the little filet mignons and the shrink wrap, you know, the little vacuum sealed shrink wrap things. Going home and putting a, you know, like I do a homemade blue cheese topping for that where it's blue cheese, breadcrumbs, herbe de Provence that I bring in le sabre and some olive oil, top it with that, cook that shit, ready to go.
Sounds delicious. Go.
Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That's when it's okay. But, you know, not buying, like, you have the Hill Country. If she would have looked at her and said, do you have the Hill Country Fair brand steak sauce for me to pour on this?
I would have felt better about that. Look at you. You're very specific.
Packets of ketchup from McDonald's, perchance.
Do you have any fancy ketchup from what Whataburger?
I feel weird about the Whataburger ketchup just because you can buy a bottle of Whataburger ketchup in the grocers.
The spicy ketchup.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It is.
It really is.
Nice. I will say, last weekend, I had another one of the midnight munchie meal boxes from Jack in the Box. And I feel no shame for it.
Oh, because why should you?
Having half fries, what are their tacos? VJ, I posted a thing about the tacos, eating the tacos. It's like, you just feel bad. I don't know what's inside of them. And VJ's response to me was beanf.
Yes.
Beanf. It's so true.
It's not meat drapes. It's meat paste.
it's a soy-based meat paste. Like you'd get from Taco Bell. We actually know somebody who went to Taco Bell for a refund once.
We do.
Yes.
And not only that, had to...
called them first.
Called them and then put it all over social media.
Yeah.
I love you, honey, but...
I love you. The only response...
Not my wife.
The only response that I wanted to have to it was, if you have spent enough money at Taco Bell to warrant going back for a refund, you have chosen poorly.
Yes, you have.
Genuinely, you eat at Taco Bell because it's like if it's bad, you're like, well,
yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
this double decker taco wasn't up to snuff. When was it?
Pardon me, sir. I wanted the Cool Ranch Doritos tacos, not an insult to the Mexican culture.
I don't much go for ethnic food.
I forget what he asked him if he wanted, where he replied for, I don't much want ethnic
It's about
food.
The burritos.
A burrito, oh yeah.
About standing burritos.
He goes, they've got a thing called the meat tornado. And he's like,
killed a guy last week. You had me in meat tornado.
Yeah, killed a guy last week. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could find a food stuff called the meat tornado, I'd eat that shit every day. What?
Everything about Clint Eastwood and steaks is all going to be wrapped together and tied together with Dennis Rodman and Ron Swanson.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rat's ass what the hell you think.
Because Ron Swanson is a real person.
Yes, he is.
Nick Offerman is a character.
Yeah, Nick Offerman.
Ron Swanson is like the Tyler Durden-esque id to Offerman's Norton.
See, I almost feel that it's more an Andy Kaufman, Tony Clifton thing. Where,
perhaps.
You know, what's what? You know? But Ron Swanson shit. That man knows his steak. That's all I'm saying.
It just all works together. And so, if you don't have steak.
Give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
Hold on. I worry what you heard was.
Give me a lot of bacon and eggs you have.
God, he's great. The calmness that he has where he talks about things. And dude, I would have gotten you a fucking handmade wooden Offerman mustache comb, but I didn't want to spend like $60
oh, Lord.
On a wooden mustache comb.
It's a good angle you got going there, Nick. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's like a really small wood shop. And so it's like his reasoning on it is like, what we sell might be expensive, but.
Wait a minute. Does he make them?
Yeah, he makes some of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then. That's different.
Different
that's
story.
Like getting that ashtray I wanted from Lance Hendrickson.
Yeah.
You know, I still smoked. Wouldn't that be a pain in the ass?
Yeah.
I have to go buy cigars to make that
work. Worth it. Yeah. But he's like, in order to do that, he has like actual craftsmen that work there, like actual fucking. And he's like, you are paying, you know, you are doing that. You are paying them, you know, $15 an hour. That's what's going in. It's like, awesome. That's how it should be. You're not getting some fucking mass produced bullshit. So there it is. So let's talk for a moment. Let's digress from the deliciousness of steak.
All right.
And talk about the deliciousness of Clint Eastwood.
All thing
ever. Now, before we do anything, let's discuss what defines Clint Eastwood to many people's minds, which would be...
he talked to a chair.
He did. That's
what
so
a dick.
Funny. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Fuck his point. It was a chair.
Yeah.
Man.
There was a student.
I like saying no.
It
lowers their enthusiasm.
There's a student who was a student of mine who came back today and he was like, you know, I realized something, you know, just being in college and talking to the hippie folks. He's like, being a hippie is just being ignorant. They don't think about what it'll.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yep. Yep.
Dog, go out and give me a cigarette. I finished.
Yes.
That is. That's great.
It really was beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. Really that happened beautiful. Today?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's.
No wonder
you're
in high spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I would be.
Yeah. He was like, they just don't think about any of it. They want everyone to have the same thing. They don't understand things. I was like, well, yeah.
Come here, son.
Come here. Let me kiss you on the mouth.
Oh.
Have you heard of Ayn Rand?
Tongue kiss.
Yeah.
Not Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Oh, God, that would be awful. She looked like she would be unpleasant to be around.
Yeah, well, she got her sexual proclivities mixed up with her politics. Anyway.
Ooh.
Hey, now.
Ooh.
So,
let's talk the three movies. When Clint Eastwood, no one knows Clint Eastwood without Fistful, A Few Dollars, and Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Correct.
Of those three, here's what's weird. I find Fistful a little difficult to watch. It's a little slow.
Tis.
A little bit slow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of setup and stares.
And it's not as clear as a lot of people would think it is. It's a little ambiguous throughout. So, okay, fine. But it's a fine film that definitely captured attention. Here's what's interesting. There's bands that'll have a first album that's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few, okay. Eh. But the ones that come out after get bigger and bigger. Unjustifiably, just because, you know, they're, you know, it's you too. So, of course, they must be making better records.
Right.
Clint Eastwood, though, with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and Fist and A Few Dollars More, I genuinely feel as though it was good, better, best.
Oh, yeah.
Because few Dollars More is the one that tends to get overlooked, and I find that unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Because, fascinating enough, if you look at that, who is the coolest person in that movie? It ain't Clint Eastwood.
No.
Motherfucking Lee Van Cleef.
Well.
A.K.A. Master Ninja. Who just fucking destroys it in that movie. Because he's so calmly badass. Just
Lee Van Cleef. Kind of runs away when almost everything he's in, other than Master Ninja.
Oh, right. Bring it.
Master Ninja theme song.
That's.
I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care.
Speaking of, quick digression, how many of them have you watched?
Oh, nothing yet.
Nothing yet?
No, it's all been bourbon and stress lately.
See, you know what is the best antidote to bourbon and stress?
Normally. But
Star Wars A New Hope with Riff Tracks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably so.
but you know, make it work. No, it'll have it happen at some point. Is there, it would be
one thing.
But here's the thing: like Lee Van Cleef is a total fucking badass. Jean-Marie Valente, holy fuck, that guy is so goddamn cool. It's obnoxious. It's like oppressive how badass he is, and he's a fucking horrific villain. Yes, there is no two ways about that. He is a fucking horrifying villain.
He's not ambiguous.
No, it is, and that's what I loved about that movie is the good guys were ambiguous.
Yeah.
The bad guys were bad. Like, no, we're just going to come. Actually, what I dug was Van Cleef is like, no, I just want to kill a bunch of them. You keep the money.
Yeah.
I just want this motherfucker dead.
That's it.
Then Good, the Bad, and the Ugly hit. Now, here's what's interesting. Chronologically, technically, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the first one.
Right.
Because he assembles his outfit during that film. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of those movies that's like, I hate that they add director's cut shit to it because the original cut is so good.
Yeah.
But the director's cut stuff's pretty good, too. What I love most about the director's cut that came out is Roger Ebert wrote an essay for it where he was like, I read my review of this film and realized I gave 3 stars to a 4-star movie because I was being a fucking prick.
Right.
Which is surprising. He was basically like, I thought it was a Western. A Western can't be this good. It's just a Western. It's a genre picture. Mm. And then going back and looking at it, realizing, holy crap, I was wrong.
No. The strength of that film lies in the fact that you get enough men in a room together and it's on a television and they have to be walking through.
Yeah.
That a large percentage of that group will stop and start watching.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those where it would be a slow walk. You just do. They're about to blow that bridge up. Hold on.
I'm going to wait.
We're just going to watch this part. So,
yeah. Yeah, this is the part where they're all covered in dust, and so are the guys in gray, and they look gray. But, war of Northern Aggression.
But what kills on top of that is how the, in that movie, and I'm not talking Eastwood, I'm just talking Good, Bad, and the Ugly right now. The fucking, like, the sadness of the band, the Confederate band being forced to play while they hear Angel Eyes beating the shit out of Tuco.
Yeah.
It's just so, and when you look at stuff, like, people like to talk about, I'm getting how horrifying Abu Ghraib was. And it was bad. That was that was horrible. Look, just Google the word Andersonville.
Yeah.
And look at pictures of prisoners of war back during the Civil War. And it's fucking like Auschwitz-esque. And that's not an exaggeration or anything. It was like if people starving to death and if your friend starved to death, okay, I have something to eat now.
It's just not good.
No, it really, really
isn't. By the way,
yes.
You, by default,
mm-hmm.
are a Nazi.
Oh, I am. No. Yeah, there it is. Sorry, it's my bad. My bad. I'm an asshole. I'm so sorry about that.
There you have it.
Mm. But what's so weird is like Eastwood found himself becoming like really popular, like you know, sudden fame. And one of the best moments from the Academy Awards is like Charlton Heston was supposed to present the first award one year, but he was stuck in traffic, so they had Eastwood go up, and he goes up and he starts like doing the whole spiel, and they're not keeping up with him with the prompter, and he's like, come on, man, I'm a cat who's had like 5 lines in 10 movies. You gotta hurry this up. And then Heston comes running up and he's like, the job of the costume director is very wonderful. I once knew a girl who lived on Beat Street. On Beat Street.
Beat Street.
Why not?
That's fantastic.
It really.
You've had to get down to Electric Avenue.
Yes. You know what I realized? The asshole that gave you that drive didn't wait until he had the first 2 episodes of the new season of Sherlock.
What a prick.
What an asshole that person is.
Oh, if I find that person.
Yeah. Maybe, here's the thing. Maybe if you give me the drive that he gave you a while back, mm-hmm. he can bring those back next week so that you'll have all three of them.
Perhaps.
Yes, perhaps. It's really good.
I'm sure it is.
It's really good. The fuck scene between Sherlock and Watson is way too long. The 19th in America.
The 19th in America.
Yeah.
So, potentially, I'll have this before Phil Ogden can watch it. from this person?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, actually, no, because Phil might or might not have had it before this person did.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
just checking.
God, you really just want to rub it in his face, don't you?
No, I was just curious.
No, you do.
That would just happen.
No, I do.
I know you do.
I do. Oh,
I was just,
God, I do.
He's a big fan, so that sparks.
Yeah, see, I like the fact that his whiskey's going to be urine soon.
And then we'll drink it again.
Then we'll drink, yeah.
Again.
Then we'll get the real feel for that shit. But no, it's weird how Eastwood is one of those, like, had been working in films for, like, you know, if we look at his actor.
1956?
Yeah, I mean, he's 1955, Revenge of the Creature. He played Jennings in an uncredited role, which doesn't make sense.
Jay Jennings?
If only. But then, you know, Death Valley Days, where he got kind of known, you know, sort of Escape in Japan, where he played the Dumbo pilot. I mean, good Lord, he was just kicking around for 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. I love the statement. It took him 10 years to become an overnight sensation.
Yeah.
And,
but even by the time that Good and Bad and the Ugly came around, he wasn't carrying himself as someone like, well, you know, I've got a lot of stuff under my belt.
Yeah. He'd done Fistful, Few Dollars, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And in between, he was on Rawhide playing Rowdy Yates.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he was on Rawhide from 59 to 65. So, I mean, the fact that he kept doing that shit, pretty good for you, sir. Good for you. Eastwood's an odd one because I've seen a lot of what he's done, but I haven't seen most of what he's done.
Yeah.
I'm not even close to it.
No.
And, you know, looking through here, I just see a bunch of shit that just kind of makes me laugh. Like, I still have not seen Hang 'Em High.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
But I remember... Most of his westerns are still relatively fresh in my mind.
Right.
Because back in 97-ish, my friend Sam, who grew up mainly in Germany, didn't really have a lot of experience with movies in the 80s, 70s, all that stuff, because he was gone or whatever.
Was Sam the guy that was in the same German class as me? Okay.
And, like, for example, he hadn't seen Ghostbusters, he hadn't seen Smokey and the Bandit or stuff like that.
It's just weird.
And, like, well, his western section of his film knowledge was, I mean, just a big gaping hole.
Right.
Like, well, have you seen Outlaw Josie Wales? Have you seen Good and Bad and the Ugly? Have you seen Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More? Have you seen Duck, You Sucker? Have you seen any of this stuff? No. So we just went down to fucking Hollywood Video and stretched my arms out to the Western section and said,
just all of this.
Couple of cases of Lone Star and go.
Nice.
And the education began. So of it, for a while, everything was Westerns.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
And, you know, we didn't stop and rent Paint Your Wagon.
Gonna paint my wagon. Gonna
paint it good.
Gonna use a oil-based paint because the wood is pine. Ponderosa pine.
Oh, you gonna take that bitch, we're gonna get it. But guess what I do? One day.
Son, there's no wrong way to consume alcohol.
Alcohol, winky face.
Yeah. That is how you do that shit, man. You get yourself a bunch of beer. Did you eat steak?
We were too poor for that. I think we had Mexican food.
Okay.
Which is not bad. Not Taco Bell either.
Yeah.
I mean, the real stuff.
I don't much go for ethnic food.
It's too bad. It was delicious.
We need to figure out a way to find, like, a shitload of barbecue that's not too expensive, but not bad, and watch, like, do one of the initiates things, like Yumi and VJ, watch all three of them while eating a shit ton of barbecue,
that's
and then fucking record.
Let's do that now.
Okay, let's go.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Oh, okay. I almost had to ask a woman to leave the state of Texas the other day. Yes. I was at the Whole Foods near my house, buying some, you know, whatever. It was earth friendly, whatever it was. They have a Pitmaster and sell barbecue there. And
what?
It's quite good. The one by my place, you can get pork ribs, beef ribs, sausage, you can get fucking brisket.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, can I get a half a pound of brisket, as much burnt as you can? And the one, this woman who's standing next to me ordering something from the deli case, she's like, I've never heard somebody ask for burnt before. And I was like,
have you heard of a curb stomp?
Yeah, you live in Texas, my dear.
Maybe she's new.
Yeah, for those unaware, Burnt brisket is the best fucking part of a brisket burnt if it's cooked ends. Properly. Burnt ends is where it's at.
If you ever find yourself at the Salt Lick, the fifth or sixth best barbecue place in town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly in Texas. Okay. Just go out there, get the family style, and ask for a plate of burnt ends, because they'll bring it to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, they will. Yes,
family style. I have to reiterate this. Don't just get a single plate.
No, God, no.
Because they will fuck you in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Get family style.
Even
if you're by yourself.
There is no point going to Salt Lick if you don't order family style, period.
I have made that mistake once.
To me, I'm such an odd throw as to what's the best, because to me, City Market, Snow's, and Franklin are all right up there.
Right.
I haven't done Louis Mueller. Cooper's pork ribs are the best thing in the world. Their beef ribs are outstanding, but their pork ribs, pork ribs are fucking legit. Their pork ribs fucking define pork ribs for
me.
Their
beef ribs are
Their beef ribs are so Flintstonian. There's no other way to describe them than that.
A lot of times those are dry, but not these, baby.
No, God, no.
Not these.
What I loved about that Cooper's was the time we went in and the woman was filling the 2-gallon bag with beans. Mm-hmm. This is what I miss about the early days of the show, was we literally used to drive to Cooper's, because you lived, 2 miles from Cooper's?
No, it's New Braunfels. Everything's two miles away.
Yeah. So we would go there, we'd eat and my order, this was my fat boy days, and the only reason it was fat boy is because I ordered a fucking sandwich on top of it, but I'd be like, I need a pound of pork ribs, a half a pound of brisket, and a chopped beef sandwich.
The chopped beef sandwich is what did it.
Yeah, that's really what did it. Because the other stuff, that's fine. That's fine.
That's normal.
Now I'll go in, before we saw Willie Nelson, I was like, you need a pound of pork ribs, half a pound of brisket, and a beef rib.
Yeah.
And I ate that, and I felt like a man!
That's right.
That's where the shit...
That's why you should, because that doesn't happen a lot around
No.
I'm surrounded by a lot of women in this department. And that includes the men.
Man, see, we need to find a day where you've got just middle of the week day off, clean schedule off, when I'm off as well, and go down and meet at Franklin at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds fine. I want to walk up there. If I'm waiting 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I understand. If I'm waiting long enough where I can go to Lockhart and hit 3 barbecue places and come back home, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm from Texas. Yeah, barbecue is a birthright.
Yeah.
And I don't have to wait for
That's true.
If you're from California
and
you decide, you're making a special trip, I understand.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait.
But there's a way we can order it in advance. So we got to hook that up. I think for like a move-in party, a mutual move-in party, we can hook a bunch of that shit up. But, move-in / college graduation party. There it is. There it is. But to me, fucking County Line, that Rib King platter...
That is good. I look forward to that every year.
I know. And you will continue to.
Just enjoy it. Yeah. So I also enjoy getting this VJ getting the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
Look at you.
Fuck yeah.
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 I know you're going to take half at home. It doesn't make a fuck that you are because you're right there
You're right there with it. You're in the fucking game. For those who are unaware, for $22 roundabout, you will get a half a rack of beef ribs and a half a rack of pork ribs with bean slaw, tater salad, all of that. But goddamn, they're some of the best ribs you'll ever have in your life.
It's fabulous.
I can't even imagine what it's like living in, Boston when it comes to barbecue. There's shit that Boston's got us beat cold on. Going to a pub in Boston, I'd probably be the shit.
Yes. They got us on that one.
The only meal I've really eaten in Boston was at a Mexican restaurant because my ex had some friends. When we went there, he was like, oh, let's go have Mexican food. I was like, fucking really?
Well.
I'm from Austin, right?
We can always shuffle over to Seattle and go to Tres Hombres.
Tres Hombres, yes. See, what I love is that right now I live about a mile or so from a Torchy's.
Yes.
So I can go and get my fucking, you people don't even comprehend the awesomeness of the tacos here in Austin.
We have a lot of food.
Green chili pork tacos.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We really do have the food thing by the throat.
We definitely do.
For all of Austin's faults.
Yeah.
And for all that we're going to leave behind in its faults.
Yes.
Food is not one of them.
But the beauty of it is we're not really leaving it behind.
Not really. I mean, having to work our way through it.
Yeah, we're
physically.
We're just going to work. We're just going to
work here and live somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to live in it. We're just living in a different apartment in the same fucking complex, if we're being honest, Like, I'd move, I'd live as far south as where Gino does, but yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
That, just as long as I'm up in that
area. I like his area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, his area I would not have a problem with.
It's not bad.
But yeah, I'm just, the food, yeah. There's apparently a place on Lamar that just does Cuban sandwiches.
Yeah.
I need to check that shit out. We need to check that shit out with a quick nap. I might have to go tomorrow, but I don't know. Hope might have to work, so we'll figure it out. But, yeah, like the food.
Clint Eastwood's fucking good.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. He would enjoy these sandwiches.
I don't think we should have a distraction therapy show.
Yeah.
We should just slowly start moving the film out, and just it just stays this.
You mean doing what we've been doing for the past year? Yeah.
Within a year, it won't be anything. Right. It'll just be a title.
Uh-huh.
You know. Roger Ebert, and we talk about, you know, whatever.
Right.
You don't take that bitch, we don't get it. But guess what I do? One day.
I need to isolate just the one day, because that is fucking magic. One day. But goddamn, that guy could rebound.
Yes,
he could. Holy shit, could he play defense. It was wonderful.
He really could.
You know who else could play defense? Dirty Harry Callahan.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to... we're just smash cuts. That's all we are here.
Yeah.
Fuck segues. Who needs that?
Don't need it.
You know what I love about the Dirty Harry movies? Set in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The least Dirty Harry fucking locale in America.
Yeah.
Is right there. You know, yes, of course, San Francisco. Why wouldn't it be?
Why not?
Why not?
Nobody, and I mean nobody, puts ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah. Sitting, watching you eat ketchup. Unless you're a child.
Unless you're a child.
Then it's adorable, but not so much. Dude, have you heard my nephew's... I don't know if you saw the video that my sister posted on that, but my little baby nephew has learned a new term that I don't understand from whence it comes. But here is the new term that he will throw out. This is him when he's sick and I didn't answer the phone.
You broke your heart.
Jimmy did? Yeah.
How did he do that?
My heart broke.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How?
Jimmy.
What did he do?
He broke my heart.
Uh-huh. What happened?
It broke.
It broke?
Yeah.
How can you fix it?
I don't know how to fix it.
Wait.
You don't?
I don't know.
What can Uncle Jimmy do to fix it?
You can put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah?
You can put a Band-Aid on it.
He could?
He could.
And then what?
He's like, I'm done talking. But yeah,
I don't want to do war. I don't want to do war.
Broke my heart.
You gonna take that bitch, we gonna get it. But guess what I do?
One day.
Porterhouse, rare, quickly.
Oh man, yeah. So
can obey that one thing.
You can obey that, don't ding.
So Dirty Harry, here's the thing that kills. In real life, I would despise a cop like Dirty Harry.
Well.
In theory, I love it.
Sure.
In theory, it's like, fuck yeah, but I'm that guy who's like, no, if cop talks to you, you don't have to talk to them. Don't tell them your name unless you're under arrest. Yeah, you don't have to Good Lord, no.
I'm the same same way when I watch like procedurals on TV.
Right.
Like, why are you talking to him? Lawyer.
Yeah.
Lawyer. Yeah. First. Whatever.
Yeah.
No, why are you in the room? Why are you alone with two police officers in interrogation?
Yes. Why is this happening?
No.
Yeah.
All you should be doing there is staring at them.
Mm-hmm.
Or looking down.
Yeah.
Last thing you should be doing is opening your damn mouth other than to breathe.
Yes.
Even if you're innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Don't. Yeah. You just don't. You know? But my favorite television cop ever is fucking Vic Mackey, so that should tell you something. But now here's the thing. Let's talk through the Dirty Harry movies. Dirty Harry's, we have Dirty Harry, we have Magnum Force.
I really enjoy Magnum Force.
Yeah, yeah. The Enforcer, and then Sudden Impact, and he didn't do another one again until the Deadpool. All right. The Dirty Harry, fucking great.
Yeah.
It's the creepiest goddamn villain. Eastwood at his best. I mean, just owning it with that fucking suck it up manliness of it all. Just, God damn it. He's like,
damn you, Hal Holbrook.
He's like the guy who plays.
I just want to punch Hal Holbrook in the throat.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
whenever he does his Mark Twain shit, I want to punch him in the throat. Give me Sam Waterston, sir.
Sir. Sir.
For when the metal ones come. But Magnum Force. What was I going to say? Eastwood in just stoic. They might as well have just called him Stoic Harry Callahan because he looks like...
Pressing into the wound on that killer's leg.
God,
just
that
so.
Was awesome.
Like stamping out a cigarette.
Yeah. He's like Jonathan Banks in as Mike in Breaking Bad. The entire yeah. performance is, okay, your motivation is you've had just about enough.
Yeah. Go.
Go. All right. You've had just about enough. Then Magnum Force, didn't that have, feature a young Robert Urich?
Yes, it did.
Very young
they
Robert Urich.
They kind of flipped the script on him. Like, yeah. Well, now you got a whole group of vigilantes. What do you do now?
Yeah, a whole group that's just doing what you do to the next level.
Right.
The thing that I like about it is that they do it in a way that the vigilante doesn't seem... you can still... the first time you see the vigilante work is when that pimp forces that hooker to drink the entire thing of, what was it, radiator coolant?
Yeah.
And kills her because she was short a little money. And then he fucking killed... cop rolls up and kills him.
Yeah.
And there in that moment, it's hard to be like, well, what about that guy's rights?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You should be, because it's like, well, we all have them. But at the same time, it's like, well, fuck that motherfucker.
Yes, yeah, we all do have rights. Yeah. But didn't I just watch you do that?
Yeah. Didn't we just
see this happen? Is anyone else watching?
Yeah.
Justice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally how it comes across. And what I love, though, is the little, my favorite part of Magnum Force is probably when they have the shooting competition.
Yes.
That he shot a good guy. Because you have to have that one voice off camera explaining to everyone what just happened.
Yeah, doing that movement.
Brr?
Like around a door
he
frame.
He shot a good guy. What?
No. No. Yeah.
No. But yes, Magnum Force, great. Enforcer, is that the one with the Sandra Locke in it and the creepy rape subplot with that ultra creepy rape lady?
There's more than one film where Eastwood characters get their rape on.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really... Yeah. It was either that or Sudden Impact, because I don't recollect either of those. I do remember Deadpool, because I can't fucking forget it, no matter how hard I try. You know what the best part of Deadpool is?
What's that?
Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
That is the lip-syncing to Axl Rose.
Ugh.
Not the fucking recreation of the bullet car chase using a remote control car. That was cute.
Yeah.
So cute.
So cute.
But not really what I was in the mood for. It was like when Roger Moore showed back up for the last one that he was in, For Your Eyes Only, where it's just an old man playing James Bond. This was, at the time, he wasn't an old man, but he was too goddamn old to play Harry Callahan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when your sequel, 1988, and the first one came out in, 1971? It's not terribly long for it, but when you have a guy who has been in the pictures for 30-plus years, maybe want to pump the brakes on that one.
Mayhaps.
Maybe want to pump the brakes on that one. So, yeah.
I found it interesting when he would venture off into the comedy.
Yeah. It was always so awkward.
I mean... If you're lucky, you get Every Which Way But Loose.
Or Kelly's Heroes.
Right. If you're unlucky, you get Pink Cadillac.
I never saw Pink Cadillac.
I've seen it more than I should have. It was one of those things on Showtime.
Wasn't Bernadette Peters
yes.
in that?
Why was she?
Really? Was she?
Did no,
she?
No, no. Didn't get a gear off or anything.
Damn it. Then what's the
but,
point?
Yeah, I mean, she's cute, but...
Yeah.
I'm a simple man. I like pretty dark-haired women and breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite dark enough.
You can't argue that.
But
you can't
she's a beautiful woman.
See,
weird movie. Really weird.
But you look back at Kelly's Heroes. Mm-hmm. That was a comedy like almost in spite of Eastwood because he wasn't funny in it. He just played Clint Eastwood and everything happening around him was hilarious. You know, Donald Sutherland and fucking his, the goddamn, not his holiness. What would Don Rickles' nickname be?
Sir Funniness? I don't know.
Because, his holiness is Kurt Russell. So,
Don Rickles is...
He's just...
That is the title. You're Don Rickles.
He's the Rickles.
The Rickles.
Yeah, the Rickles is so fucking good in that, because it's sort
funniest man ever. You win.
Yeah.
You're Don Rickles.
Uh-huh. He is. There's no arguing that. But, you know, he did some really great shit in there. You know, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Ooh, see, that's one of those. Like, my brother's linchpin film to his childhood is, blanking out right now. Robert Redford as the Mountain Man.
Oh, Jeremiah Johnson?
Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah.
He always says, that movie, that one, that thing with Rob Redford. Like, Jeremiah Johnson. Usually, I remember.
That he'd watch wearing parachute pants and his Tweety Bird earring?
Yes. And like, that's the one. Like, it is. For me, it was always Outlaw Josie Wales because I didn't know what it was
right.
when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
What is going on? Who is that? Holy hell, what? He's shooting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he gave that Indian kid all that candy. That's pretty cool. I like this guy.
What's funny, Hope's grandfather isn't a big movie guy. Mm-hmm. He's not huge. But apparently every fucking format that they've ever owned a player for, he has owned a copy of Josie Wales.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It was so funny. Her brother almost passed out laughing when the grandfather was like, we were talking about the new Tron movie, and he's like, well, I don't need, you can take your Trones and whatever. And he was like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard someone say in my life. Trones. Grandpa, I love you. But Josie Wales was fucking intense. It was tight, very solid storytelling. And here's the thing. It has a little bit of an edge over not High Plains Drifter. Is that
that's holy.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it then? It's not. What, is that the one with the rape?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only thing that you look at kind of like,
High Plains Drifter, I didn't have so that same connection to as a child with Outlaw Josie Wales necessarily.
Uh-huh. Right.
I remember seeing it and at the end going, oh, by the way, spoilers. Wait a minute. Was that a ghost? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Then later on when I revisited it with Sam, he said, well, what's this one? I'm like, well, it's Outlaw, High Plains Drifter.
Yeah.
I think I remember exactly what it was and watched it again as a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
For all practical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
What? This movie is so much better. Oh, my God. It is fantastic. It's not just a revenge flick.
Yeah.
I've taken revenge on the whole town and those guys.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm going to eat all your food, take over your homes, fuck your wife twice, and I'm going to paint this entire town red and rename it hell. Drop microphones.
Walk off the stage.
Yes. God, it's good.
You know what's weird? When you're talking about linchpin kid shit, stuff that you remember from when you were a kid, there is a Clint Eastwood kind of Western.
Okay.
That I very much associate with my childhood. And that would be a little number called A Bronco Billy.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't remember anything about it other than him hitting that broad in the arms with knives. And when he puts the blindfold on Sandra Locke saying, must you?
Yes.
That's my only recollection of it. I think they rob a train.
I couldn't tell
it
you.
Came out in 1980, was on fucking cable when I was six.
Right.
So I have
on all the
no
time.
Idea what it's about other than that at all.
I don't know, but if you haven't seen Outlaw Josie Wales, I don't know. I can't wrap my head around that. But if you haven't seen High Plains Drifter,
yeah.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Because there's a little person in that film
there is.
Who looks just like Jimmy Johnson.
He does.
Not a little.
But a lot.
Like a lot.
But like he ought to be Jimmy hocking Johnson. Boner pills.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the sheriff. I'm the mayor. I'm the sheriff. I'm the mayor. It's
my mother, just, my daughter, my sister, my daughter. But Josie Wales to me is that is one where it's like, if you haven't seen Outlaw Josie Wales,
it's just
what
so,
have you been doing with your life?
It's just so perfect.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a what the, I'm gonna rass ass what the hell you think.
Dying ain't much of a job, boy.
Dying. My favorite bit was when Josie goes into the fucking the general store, and you know, I'll pay it for you. And I forget what it was, but how the woman's basically like, "Fucking take it,
yeah,
here, go ahead." You know, like, not even implied. I'll pay you back. Be seeing you, Josie Wales. Like,
yeah.
No, you're not. No, you are. Well, goddamn, not paying me back for this. It's very enjoyable, but you know, it's almost more enjoyable. Firefox.
Yes.
It's
Firefox.
A plane that you can control the weapon system for with your mind in 1982. Boy, people didn't know shit about technology back then, did they?
Remember when there was a lot of that going around back in those days? Blue Thunder.
Oh.
The helmet controls the gun.
Yes. It shoots wherever you look. Well,
what?
That's not convenient.
What?
Yeah.
What if you look at your watch?
There was a lot
you
of...
You shoot yourself with a ding-ding.
Actually, Blue Thunder had a TV show for a brief period.
Did it? Is that well? Is that how Airwolf happened?
No. Airwolf was around the same time. But we were really into super vehicles around this period in time.
It was a good time.
We had Knight Rider. We had Firefox. We had Blue Thunder. We had... there was some other shit.
Mask.
There was a show about a guy who had a super fast motorcycle. That via computer, yeah, he could get it up to like 200 miles an hour. And when the turbo boost was activated, it could go 300 miles an hour. And I want to pause for a second and comprehend on a motorcycle at 300 miles an hour.
That's not good.
Hitting a small pothole. And the motorcycle would just explode.
Yeah.
But
is that post or pre-Knight Rider?
Firefox?
No, the bike.
The bike show. Thing, it was after... It was a very like...
Because things are happening in my head.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of that particular show in a long time now. I'm trying to remember exactly what it is.
Which one?
But I'm just getting flashes.
The motorcycle one?
Yes.
Yeah, because it lasted like 4 episodes.
Oh.
It was one of those things. Which is weird because that is a majority of TV shows last less than a season.
Oh, yes.
Which is so weird to think about the money they put in. It's like, nope, we're done. No one's ever going to like this. No one will ever possibly like this. Firefox, though, he was an American, but... he was like, his family was Russian and he spoke Russian fluently. And so they thought you can think in Russian, therefore you can control the Russian blah, 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 blah weapon system.
Right.
All I remember was the plane flew so fast when he flew it low over the ocean, wall of water popped up behind him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. I wager rewatching it now, I'd be like, this looks like stupid.
Well,
let me do this.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But the helmet, the whole outfit for Firefox is badass. We really had a wild misunderstanding of what the Soviet Union was capable of back in those days,
really
didn't
did.
We?
Well, we didn't have a misunderstanding of their military capacity.
Yeah.
We got that.
Yeah.
First world military.
Uh-huh.
Third world everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Except some of the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Porterhouse, rare, quickly.
I don't know why I played that.
Yeah, that one didn't make sense. So.
And Dennis makes a great point.
But yes, that's the one that always sort of throws me is good Lord, how did this thing get? But, you know, people loved it. People fucking, it's because Clint Eastwood's like, I'll be in that. I'll do that. Yeah.
Sounds good. I remember another one was Escape from Alcatraz.
That
was like, wait a minute, what's going on? He's not a cowboy in this one.
Yeah, with Patrick McGowan.
Wait.
Isn't evil.
Wait, this is good? And my brother was just batshit over it.
Like, yeah.
This is really good. Okay, so it must be good. Because, you know, you're 9.5 years older than me or whatever, 10 years. Oh, okay.
It's
not understanding what was going on.
Yeah.
Concept of prison.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
What?
So it's a bunch of guys who just live in this place.
Okay. Is this like Bad Boys with that pin guy? That was another one.
Wow.
I watched Bad Boys a lot.
I didn't see that. The one that I wanted to see was there was one called like, was it Bad Boys? There was one that was called, like, The Boys Next Door or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll say.
Sounds good.
But to me, for some reason, for all the shit that he's done, for all the iconic roles, I look at Clint Eastwood and I just have two words in my mind. Gunny Highway.
Oh, God.
It's one of those things there. I always talk about, like, albums that are good enough that you should just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Guns N' Roses should have stopped after Appetite. They did good shit afterwards, but Appetite was like, you are never going to top that.
No.
You know, Anthrax will never top Sound of White Noise.
No.
There's shit where it's just drop the mic and walk off the stage. That is one of those parts that almost there, where it's like, fuck, because he's so fucking hardcore and awesome. And you grow up knowing those hard as nails fucking military guys who've just been in their whole lives, and that's what they know.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. It's like, he cheated. I order you to declare us the winner. You don't cheat. And that's the movie where he stopped talking and just sort of had a...
Yeah, that was where it all happened.
He learned how to growl with syllables.
Yes.
Which was... That's not a hard task. Which is why there was a certain point in his life where he would have been perfect for Wolverine.
Yes.
Were he not 6'4", he would have been perfect for Wolverine. But no... This is one of those movies I remember watching with my dad, and my dad, like, just laughing his ass off, loving it, because it fits so much in the military shit, but a more hardcore version of it and all that shit, and just, When the Swede showed up and he whipped his ass, he's like, I'm going back to the brick. Get your ass out there. You're not wearing the same shirt.
I remember in New Braunfels, I'd gotten digital cable and finally had stuff on demand.
Yeah.
It's like one odd Friday night drinking alone, as it were, and came across Heartbreak Ridge. I hadn't seen it since I was a teenager. Just moon eyes over the thing.
Yeah.
Batshit. Like, oh my God, this movie is so amazing.
Does it hold up?
So, yes. It's awesome. That's just fantastic.
You know how long it's been since I've seen it? I saw it last on Laserdisc.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, I wish I still had that Laserdisc player for some reason.
Why not?
Because, yeah. Yeah. Laserdisc, the technology of the future, sir. Yeah. But no, Heartbreak Ridge, it's one of the few times Mario Van Peebles, there's two times that Mario Van Peebles has been in a movie that I'm like, I love that movie. The other one is Badass.
It's not Posse?
Not Posse, oddly enough, no. Badass is the balls. That movie is so good.
Not Full Eclipse?
Oh, well, that's that's an Alexander Payne movie. Come on now.
Is it?
Yes, quite definitely.
Where Bear Stare?
Is Alexander Payne in it?
Yes.
Then it's an Alexander Payne vehicle. Passenger 51, Wesley who? No.
Wesley Payne.
That's Alexander Snipes. Thank you very much.
Okay, everyone, shut up and look at me.
God, that's great. Pale Rider.
That's the one that I like all right, but yeah. I'm not crazy about.
Well, it's because it was too convoluted. The other ones worked because all of his Westerns worked because it was a fairly simple straight line.
Yeah.
This one was a little too,
Yeah. I mean, it's good and all. It's just not
going on here. Now, let's talk overrated.
Yeah.
Unforgiven.
Oh, Lord.
I have never cared for Unforgiven. I just haven't. Never have, never will, probably.
I like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, the last 20 minutes are pretty good, but it just, it feels too all over the place. And
it
then
is all over the place.
It's all over the place and boring. Yet, if you view it as an anti-violence piece, you might almost get punched in the throat in a movie theater.
It feels like one of those horror movies that horror director that made all these really over-the-top, straightforward, through-the-throat kind of films. And then way later on, he makes something with just a hint of horror.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, oh, how nuanced and brilliant. Like, well, no.
No.
I just backed off everything that was worth a damn.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I need my Clint Eastwood movies. Everyone needs to get shot every 5 minutes. But how about every 20?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something's got to happen.
Yeah.
I don't need a character piece with a West. I just don't. Yeah. I don't know. They're out there. I don't need it.
I'm with you.
I can watch Ride the High Country and all that early stuff and get into the character of it all. I got that. Those are there.
Mm-hmm.
But not my Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Because there was always the argument between my brother and I and our father. Because fucking Clint Eastwood.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Is that like the George Strait guy? That rock and roll guy? George Strait? Yeah, it's... I don't know about that.
Wow.
He's the same guy that watched Open Range and his review was not enough cows.
Not enough cows.
So you kind of understand what we're dealing with.
Exactly, yeah.
Clint Eastwood, he got over it.
Right. Well, yeah.
But initially, like, I don't know. Like when he saw Elvis Presley on the Louisiana Hayride. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about this guy. I don't think he's going anywhere. Well,
Your dad is also known for his very cautious judgment.
Yeah, well, not too cautious, because he's like, Hank Thompson, that's good music. Have you heard Hank Thompson lately, Dad? I don't know. Let's just say being on the road in the bus with the guys, I'll see them, don't tell me he's not there. That's exactly how Hank Thompson sings.
Wow.
God rest your soul. Just saying.
Right.
There was arguments between the new school and old school.
Yeah.
Okay, he's too violent. It's not enough cows, not enough cowboys,
not enough Randolph Scott.
Not Randolph Scott. Randolph Scott. Yeah, not enough of the land or whatever. Right. Okay, got it.
Uh-huh.
If I don't have that sound drop, but why do people have? Why do people draw? Why does a human being draw art of nature when they can just go outside and stand?
Yeah.
It?
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted. motherfuckers to get shots.
Yeah. Duh.
At that age.
I'm totally with you on that. You are 100% correct.
So,
see, he made up for Unforgiven, though, by appearing in The Line of Fire, which to me, that movie is all about John Malkovich.
Yes, it is.
Holy shit, Malkovich is so fucking good in that.
A lot of Malkovich.
You are alive because I have allowed you to live, so you show me some goddamn respect. And then he hangs up because he's just too mad. Like, wow. That movie is good as shit. What I remember about this year was that was the year of the Academy Awards where it was, let me make sure, The Line of Fire, 93.
Yeah.
I'm remembering this correctly. Leonardo DiCaprio for What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Ralph Fiennes from Schindler's List. John Malkovich from In the Line of Fire. All three lost the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor to I want a hot dog shirt every outhouse, hen house, doll house, man house, every here, dress, I wrote up.
I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones wins for The Fugitive.
Yeah, that's...
Which he was fine in it. Those other three were like career-defining brilliant performances.
Yes.
But.
Look at this shiny new toy.
Look at him. He's never won an award before, so give it to him.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go make Blown Away.
It's a boom, Liam.
It's a boom. Boom. He can make bombs out of biz quick. And this is where he then went a little odd. Like, okay, Perfect World, a dug.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Because I think, I don't remember it well, but I know it was one where Kevin Costner played a Kevin Costner type part perfectly.
Huh, well.
And then Bridges of Madison County.
My God.
I never saw Bridges of Madison County.
I saw it in the theater.
Who?
With the same person who sent back to Taco Bell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, that's not a reason to go see it. A female friend asks you to go see Bridges of Madison County. You don't go.
That was the same year that I saw damn near everything that came out in the movie theater because we worked in that place right across the street from the Show Palace.
Okay.
Or Show Place. Show Palace, Austin. No. Show Place. So we'd get out of work and just go see a movie.
Okay.
Everything there. So Hellraiser Bloodline. I saw a fucking... I fell asleep in a Power Rangers movie. I saw everything.
Wow.
And that was one of them. She had to drag me, albeit 30 feet, across the street to see this damn thing.
Right.
My understanding among many writers is this book is no damn good. I haven't read it. But I know the movie, despite the casting.
Yes.
And the cinematography and everything else, is awful.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't?
I don't know what happens in the book. Maybe the farmer beats the shit out of Meryl Streep's
character. By the way, when you said sense, that was the most Texas that you've...
Might as well have an armadillo drinking a beer.
Badass.
I don't know if he beats her or there is no exposition as to why she would just fuck the first photographer that comes barreling through town. That's all I'm saying.
Photographer, dude.
I mean, I understand.
Ladies love photographers.
Motherfucker is put
true.
Together.
Yeah, he is. He was assembled nicely at this point.
But I just...
They're bridges. They're bridges.
All it came across to me, and I only saw it once because, is farmer and son go off to sell something, do something work-related that keeps home and hearth together for this pain in the balls. Said pain in the balls, sees photographer, fucks him.
And
credits roll.
Yeah, and scene.
That's all I remember.
Yeah? Well, sounds like
I don't like it. And see, the lies to the fucking husband about whatever happened, and everything seems to be pleasant between them. I don't like it.
There's only one thing I hate more than lying. Skim milk, which is water that's lying about being milk.
It just makes me nuts.
It is. I can't argue with that. See, this is what I love next, is his next move was, for some reason, in the mid-90s, movies about the president being a criminal were wildly popular. And he did Absolute Power. This was the same time Murder at 1600, where the best preview ever was like, you know, this crime scene set up in Wesley Snipes walks. I was like, we're investigating a homicide at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's an address that changes everything. What? What? He said that over the radio, like, I'm letting everybody know this matters.
Yes.
But But Absolute Power, here's what's weird. Here we go into a couple of movies I don't, like, we get into some shit that I have no recollection of. I don't remember anything about Absolute Power. I don't think I saw True Crime. No. I know I didn't see Blood Work, because that was about a detective, like an older detective who'd had a heart transplant. So he like had to investigate a crime but couldn't run very far, and it was just like,
oh no,
it was like Biclops.
No,
Lens a comic by Lens Crafters. It's just like this odd fucking thing.
That is terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
But I did watch Space Cowboys.
Did you?
And it's not bad. I mean, it's got James Garnier in it.
Oh, I hope
something Garnier Fructis. I goddamn love James Garner.
Garnier.
Got like him. It had Tommy Lee in it. It had Clint Eastwood. They had to go into space to fix blah, I don't know, whatever. And
cows.
Yeah. Yes.
Space cows.
Yes. Space cows. The plague of the future. And
you'll see.
So there. Yeah. There's that. Now the next two are odd ones, because Million Dollar Baby, first time I saw it, I really liked it.
This is the troubled Catholic older man,
yes,
problem.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a third one yet, so we can't call it a triptych.
Here's where shit gets odd for me with Million Dollar Baby. First off, it's a good movie.
No,
it is.
It is.
Third act goes weird and gets crazy emotionally manipulative, and I really honestly feel as though there needed to be more of an explanation about him going to church all the time.
Yeah.
There needed to be something.
Serious swerve.
I mean, because there was an implication, but not much, you know? Because didn't he have a daughter that wouldn't talk to him?
Yeah.
Because the mind goes in places with that, where it's like, okay, well, definitely. Yeah,
it does, because taint no map.
Yeah, yeah. And stuff like Hunter going off on that years ago, Hunter from Midnight Movie Cowboys recorded something where he talked about how he's kind of over Clint Eastwood.
Right.
And he's saying, you know, the whole thing with her family, Margot Martindale and her family coming in and just being as hillbilly and awful as can be, and obviously not giving a shit about her and all of that. You know, I bought you a house. This is going to make my welfare. Like, great performances and all that. It's just story-wise, it was a little weak.
It's like Clint Eastwood built a house and then someone said, well, you're obligated to have these other people over here and mess around in it.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you. And that's the worst part. It feels like he's letting them, even though it's his film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he clearly made the decision to do that, and that's a bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I just, the whole paralysis and all that, it just felt like a goddamn hard right turn out of
swerve.
Nowhere.
Like, huge swerve, yeah.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
And it's one that I haven't revisited since I saw it originally.
Nor will I.
I kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't.
No.
Gran Torino?
Yeah.
That's one that is similarly vexing.
It is. And it's one of those that had me for a good long time.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
I mean,
same here.
Oh, it's so great. So great. So great. Couldn't wait to ran out and bought the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hilarious. Oh, it's not hilarious. I mean, it's good and moving and blah blah blah, and then as time do,
I got to
see the cracks
in
and
the
stitches and everything coming holding that thing together,
my. Now granted, there are some hilarious parts in it when they're reading his will. Holy shit, that was fucking hilarious. Just because he wanted me to read this exactly. Don't he just going through all of that, just the racial tirade. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But some of the other shit, the whole thing with his family.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, you do not go to your grandmother's funeral in a fucking football jersey.
You do not. Nor would you.
Yeah. Nor do you take your daughter to your mother's funeral with her wearing a fucking exposed midriff.
No.
I'm sorry.
A Catholic funeral at that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not. That made his family immediately like, oh, yeah. Did you see the way dad was staring at her? Yeah. Your fucking asshole family.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just give your kid a fucking video game? Why didn't your kid have a laptop open watching pornography during the funeral?
Yeah.
And I know it's like, well, that's not really like, sorry.
I mean, I get that I know they're trying to tell me that he was a flawed father.
Right.
But you can be flawed and still make that learning stick.
Yeah.
You
really can.
Yeah.
But I'll even take it a step further. Then you've got, you know, they go back to his house. This is the first time he has been in his house after burying his wife.
Yeah.
And what does his daughter start doing? Asking for shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going, oh, that couch would be so great in my dorm room. This would be wonderful. Even down to when the father is dead and they're reading the will and now the car and the family perks up like, oh boy, you're going to get a car out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad, like, I don't care what kind of an asshole he was growing up. Fuck his family.
And at that point, you wouldn't need, or I don't need, to see them do that to back up or bolster the fact that this man doesn't have anything to live for.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, okay, uh-huh. I'll give you that, to just kind of bolster the fact that he didn't really have anything.
Right.
Except this kid now. And this family that he's adopted, basically.
Yeah.
Because his real family is shit.
Yeah, and I mean...
And that kind of flies in the face because he still has his family.
Yeah, the thing is, had his family shown up normally to the funeral and then not heard from him until... do you still know that guy who gets those tickets? And it's like, the only reason you're calling your dad is because you want something from him.
Yeah.
So you're not... you're kind of an asshole. But there's... I don't know.
Yeah.
The bit, though, that still, more than anything... was when he's over there with the old Asian ladies feeding him, because you bring that you or me bring that massive fucking
I'm sitting down.
Dude, appetite. Asia, here, more. It's like, okay.
And then later when they start bringing him stuff, and he's like, I don't want that. Is that thing?
That dumpling thing.
The dumpling thing. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
My favorite part of that movie, bar none, is him sitting on the porch of his house, after just recently washing and waxing his Gran Torino. He has a cooler full of Pabst. He's got his cigarettes, his dog, and he's just looking at his car.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. If I had that car, I'd do that too.
Blowing the American flag.
Yeah.
It's just...
If I had that car, I'd do the same goddamn thing.
Yes.
The thing, though...
Another beer, dragon lady.
Yeah. the relationship with the girl, I thought
really
was better than his relationship with the boy.
Well,
just because the girl was so much more assertive. But here's what really throws me about that is, I don't think it was implied that the girl got raped. I think it was pretty outright stated. That
she got... I didn't see any implication.
Yeah. Wasn't one of those guys her cousin?
Yes.
And I don't understand this world.
No.
I just don't. When he rolled up on her walking through with that white guy getting, and he just pulls the gun on those dudes.
His kid, yeah.
Yeah.
And in real life.
Yeah. And then the kid's like, oh, thank you, sir. Shut up, you pussy.
Shut up, pussy.
Have you seen what his son looks like now?
No, is he massive?
His son looks just like him now. There's like a picture that someone posted of him where it's like, you know, stars who have, you know.
He's got a few kids. Doesn't he have a few kids?
Yeah, he does.
I think that was one of his younger ones. But.
Right. But this one, there's one where it's like, you know, stars who have kids who are hotter than their famous parents, you know. And there's this shot of Clint Eastwood's son that's fucking great where... Yeah, he looks just like him.
But he's hotter?
But more so because...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he looks exactly like a young Clint Eastwood, but he's got this cigar in his mouth, so it's like...
Nice
fucking
watch.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's like this really attractive young Clint Eastwood with a big fucking cigar in his
That's
mouth.
Right.
Like, right on. He talks to chairs, too.
Does he?
Evidently.
Is that why he can afford that watch and that cigar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastard.
I know.
People around the world, I'm going to do one thing.
Yeah, Gran Torino is one that is, I think, almost more strikingly than the others, because I liked Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
I loved Gran Torino.
Yeah, me too.
And the fact that I can step back and look at Gran Torino and just be like, there's...
It has issues. I still like the movie.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the shine did wear off pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, you still like it, but it's not in that same, this is fucking great.
No.
I love this movie. No. I think it's an okay movie now, not a great movie.
No.
And here's what's weird. I was looking through, you know, his acting. I like, oh, and I have not seen Trouble with the Curve. Just because the preview has that line, those were the best. We always sat in the cheap seats. At a baseball game with my dad, those were the best seats in the house. That line, I'm just like...
And the boots at me, funny. I need to get that drop. inside jokes alone.
But you're not gold. You're not gold. But you. His directing is an odd fucking mishmash. Because a lot of the shit we've talked about, he directed and directed fine. But, you know, you get into a mixture where it's like, yeah, the dude, you know, Flags of Our Fathers, Letter from Iwo Jima, which I haven't seen. Letters from Iwo Jima I need to see because evidently it's all in Japanese. And it's really fucking good. He did two movies where he showed both sides of Iwo Jima, which is fucking ballsy, to say the least. But you look at this shit and it's like, you know, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, The Bridges of Madison County, Heartbreak Ridge. I mean, he has directed amazing and, here's the cool thing that I hear about Eastwood is he's a guy who's like, we work from like 9 to 5 and then go be with your family.
Yeah.
You know, you are home for dinner. And he doesn't call action or cut. He's like, we're ready. Okay, whenever you're ready. And then at the end, he goes, it's good.
Moving on.
Like, moving on. Yeah, it's fine.
Tight ship.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of admire that. Now, granted, he's goddamn Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
So he can do that. It's not like you and I could roll up and be like, we're only going to shoot these times. Like, no, you're going to work it till you're finished as you are.
Yes.
You know? But it's so odd because, I mean, he has directed everything from shit that I love to things that I'm like, I have no interest in seeing Jedgar.
No.
I have no interest in Hereafter. Invictus, eh.
No.
The Changeling, no interest in seeing it. Mystic River was good, but that's one where it just...
That was another one.
It doesn't hold up
first
very
time,
well.
Like, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. And I had read the book because I was a big Dennis Lehane fan from, you know, Drink Before the War. God. Fuck, that's such a good goddamn title.
Naming my first child Drink Before the War Campbell.
God, that almost would be a good name for if our bullshitting podcast was instead of distraction therapy, if it was just called A Drink Before the War.
It can be whatever the hell we want it to be.
Yeah.
Let me just do one thing.
Yeah.
Let me
do one.
Can I that one thing?
Because I think, because no matter what.
You don't take that bitch, we're going to get it. But guess what I do? One day.
And he looked so proud of himself when he said that. Bird. I never saw Bird.
Bird.
It was about, it had Forrest Whitaker, and it was about trumpeteers.
Bird.
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 It's the word.
Is it the word?
Hear me.
Not you.
No. Aww.
Barbaric.
No.
Barbaric. Barbaric. Hear me. Let that word resound. Barbaric.
Let me
do hill this. To hill. And from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, across this broad land, barbaric.
The way he says land.
Land. Pass that shit, Dennis.
Land. Hear me. What now? The Gauntlet, never saw it. Like, I have not seen much of his directing stuff, but what I've seen is, I don't know, it's fucking weird, because he can do great. But I think the problem is he's reached a point now where there's nobody who can genuinely collaborate with him because what I say is what happens.
Well,
that's and it's you... good to be the king.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Ain't no two ways about that. But, you know, what do you want from me?
I don't know. It's all good. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is none of it is just, oh my God, this is so terrible.
Yeah.
I go off about Bridges of Madison County, but I'm not saying it's a bad film-wise.
You just don't care for it.
I just don't care for it, and I think the story that it's based on is bullshit. But whatever.
Yeah. Like, Trouble with the Curve is probably great. It's just
maybe.
One line from a preview made me go, no. They might as well have just said, boiling acid. sure.
I got that here somewhere.
Yeah, blah,
1,000
blah,
pages.
Blah, blah, blah.
Do anyone understand that?
Yeah. No.
You guy behind the mic right now.
Oh, man.
Oh,
this is fun.
I'm here.
There it is.
Barbaric.
All right, now I'll go to another page.
That's me ripping my notes.
Nice.
Because we're done talking about Clint Eastwood, aren't we?
Dunzo.
Do we have anything else to say about Clint Eastwood?
Not really.
No. Evidently, his wife or family, they've got like a reality show. And what? I don't think it was on E. It was one of those celeb reality bullshit things that they run there. And I don't think he's involved in it.
Really. Why would he?
I don't. Yeah. Why? Indeed. Yeah. Honestly, if you look at it, pretty much everything that's awful about pop culture is totally E's fault.
They were the ones, yeah.
Yeah, they really kicked that shit off because everything is just like, now watch this stripper who used to have sex with an old man occasionally.
Yep. You
know, how much did it piss them broads off when Hef married that fucking 19-year-old?
Got a sting.
Yeah. It's like, so you'd have me be part of a harem. Mm-hmm. But this 19-year-old who made fun of your cock on Howard Stern gets a fucking ring. Oh, well.
That's how we do.
Yeah, that is. Indeed.
He's just going to sit around and drink Pepsi anyway, so why not?
I'm a boat captain.
Okay.
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
Yes. Let's go swim in your disease-filled grotto.
Yeah, that really is all that I could think looking at all that shit.
Immediately when I think about that grotto, I become a hardcore Russian Orthodox priest. Like, oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
Fucking cesspool. They probably wouldn't say that. Yeah. Cesspool of, ugh.
Kind of fucking genetic soup is just...
God almighty.
Washing. There's not enough chlorine in the world.
No.
Probably have some fucking bleach-resistant gonorrhea in that pool.
No.
Oh, man.
No, thanks.
This was an odd show this week.
But
who cares? That's the thing.
Slowly. Yeah. We're working it out.
It's
going to
become,
whatever.
Distraction or a drink before.
There is nothing set in stone, Peter.
Yeah, nothing.
So.
Like, I got the.
Your hashtags may have all been for naught, Phil Ogden.
Yeah, who knows?
But who knows?
We'll see. So, what we're really looking at here is pretty much if you want to buy anything, you can buy it through our website.
Anything.
Yeah, that was the worst segue ever. What we're looking at here is, fuck it.
Swerved like $1 million baby.
I really did. That was a fucking, weird, now my neck is broke. I'm going to make an X with the pen in my mouth.
terrible.
That was awful. That was really, bad. But T-Fury shirts, I have many. I'm wearing one right now.
You are.
Amazon things. Go to thefilmthugs.com and click on any of those links and buy wonderful things, and it'll help the show out. Here's the thing. You aren't paying us that way. They are.
Yeah.
Not a cent comes from you. It's them giving us a little taste. Kablingy. We're on thefilmthugs@gmail.com or thugquestions@gmail.com. The difference between the two is I don't even know the password for the thug questions email. Hunter does. He checks that, and every once in a while we'll do a show where we don't hear the questions until you ask them. It's kind of fun. It's actually a lot of fun. 512-666-RANT. Call us and tell us a story, period. Call us at the_film_thugs on Skype. You could do that as well. Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, call us with your love problems.
Love problems. Ooh.
And we'll address your relationship issues.
Yeah, 512-666-RANT. Yeah, why not? Why shouldn't we? We're both in solid, committed relationships.
Yeah, so there.
You've been dating the same woman technically for 20 years.
Yeah, long
so
time.
So there it is. Is there anything else?
Any of you need anything at all, too bad. Deal with your problems yourselves like adults.